Norton on the KTM wins the Blackwater 100. And what a ride for the Massachusetts Navy.
Hey guys, welcome back to New England Trail Rider Podcast. This is your host, Cody Buck. Back to you guys after a little bit of a hiatus with a new episode. This episode I'm calling ISDE Bound with John McDougall. Just a really cool thing. John, 21-year-old young guy from Netra, raced in New England for quite a long time here, and he's trying to go to the International 6 Days Enduro this year. He just got selected for the team, so I thought it'd be cool to get him on the phone, kind of learn a little bit about John and then what it's going to take to get him to 6 Days this year in France. Pretty cool thing. Now, before we dive into the interview, haven't really done one of these in a little while, just been a little tied up. There's been a lot of Netra racing going on. Things are really heating up in the Hare Scramble series. If you've been paying attention or going to those, Brian DeSalt and Braden Ouellette kind of going at it, trading wins off a little bit. The most recent race, Brian did get the better, but it's pretty even right now, 2 wins apiece. And then Cordana showed up and won one as well. So interesting battle shaping up there. And as you'll hear John talk about in the podcast, he thinks he's still very much in the hunt, and I would agree with him there. A lot of good competition going on at the Hare Scrambles. Just coming off Enduro Month. On the Enduro side of things. So pretty good stuff going on over there too. Brian DeSalt made an appearance at the most recent race. Cam Harris and John Kelly have kind of been leading the show over there. John getting a couple wins, I believe. You know, he would be the points leader right now. You know, obviously no throwaways taking into account or anything like that. But yeah, on both sides, everything's heating up. Enduros are going to kind of take a little bit of a hiatus here for a little while. None of them in July, I believe, before we come back at the end of August. But the Hare Scrambles are going strong. Unfortunately, I'm recording this on the 23rd. So we just found out that the Indian Ridge Hare Scramble is canceled, and then we'll be back Hare Scramble racing on July 10th. One thing that I did want to bring up is I've had a couple of people ask me if this was like a Netra only kind of podcast show, and that's not really what it's meant to be about. It's kind of just New England. So we like J-Day and New York Off-Road and ECEA and NESC Motocross and all that stuff too. So keep tuned in. There'll be, episodes with other guys, maybe not specifically Netra riders and that kind of thing. We just like off-road riding in New England. So keep that in mind. And like I had said in previous shows, like if you have an idea for a guest or a show idea or anything like that, you know, definitely let us know. There's some shows in the works coming up. It is a little bit more work than I had anticipated maybe ahead of time, like when I had this idea. So it takes a little bit more time and doing the research and that kind of thing. This one, you know, knowing John, was something that was able to put together super quick and easy. So kind of got him on, and kind of the idea, you'll hear me talk about it in the interview, but the idea to get John on the podcast is pretty much just to help raise awareness, of what he's trying to do there, his effort for ISDE, what that's going to be like expense wise for him and trying to just help him get over there. Fingers crossed for a good result for John. I think he's got the talent and the speed to put it together there for a gold medal. So as long as everything goes the way that it should, 6 days is a long time and a lot can happen. So we're definitely rooting for John. We're also going to do a giveaway, a Pro Taper prize pack with some Edelman swag during this episode, but you got to listen to the whole show to find out how to be entered in that. So stay tuned for that. And now we'll get straight to John's interview.
Where's a guy in a steel toes covered in dirt? Just a rock and roll t-shirt headed to work with a pack of Red Man in his pocket. He's kind of Red Man, but he's rocking. Where's a beat up Tilly and a Marshall stack? Little Marshall Tucker and a six pack. Where's the good old boys and the good old days? Straight up getting sideways.
Are you excited?
Yeah, super excited.
Yeah, I think this is a good opportunity to kind of get together and help to maybe raise a little awareness to like your ISDE effort and, like the expense of that and kind of what the uphill, if you will, of what you're facing trying to go to ISDE. So that was kind of the idea.
Yeah. No, yeah, for sure. Definitely a lot of work and a lot of organizing and raising money and getting everything together to go over there.
Yeah. So I figured before we dove right into that, we'd kind of go back a little bit and let the listeners kind of learn a little bit about who John McDougall is, you know, as a racer and Netra guy. Like, we've known each other for a little while, raced each other in the B-class and stuff, but some other people won't. So I thought we'd kind of go back to the beginning like I usually do. So why don't you give us an idea on like how you got into dirt bikes and like your first bike and that kind of stuff.
Well, my first bike was a Suzuki 50, a little JR 50. I didn't start racing until I was 4. It was a Netra. I can't think of what place it was, but I want to say it was like a Freetown race. Mm-hmm. And I think my dad had to follow me around the track and had pretty much helped me everywhere.
Yeah. But, your dad was racing and that kind of thing at that point?
Yeah, at that point, my dad was racing. He started in his 20s, so he didn't really like grow up racing. Mm-hmm. He grew up like riding. He had bikes, and then took like a pretty big break, like in his teens.
Yeah,
from riding, and then in his 20s he got back into it.
Yep,
and obviously then had me. So then he got really involved in it.
Right, that was his excuse to get bikes again and everything. I need to ride with John.
pretty much.
Yep. All right. So you live down in the Freetown area, like Wareham, Mass area, right?
Yeah, kind of. It's like a half hour from Freetown. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of riding local. So I've been pretty lucky. I've always had like a ton of fast people to train with and ride with and progress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good area to be in down there for sure. What Netra club are you in?
PSDR.
PSDR, okay. Yep. So did you do a lot of like the short courses coming through and that stuff?
Yeah, I've done a good amount of the short courses. Yeah. They had their own series for a little while that ended like I want to say like 2 or 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to do a couple of those, but with Netra and like other stuff, couldn't do those full series. But there was a good series that PSDR put on.
Yeah, and that's an undertaking for a club to do something like that. So that's a pretty cool thing that they did for a while.
Definitely a lot of work.
Yep. So going back towards the Netra stuff, you get your start on the GR50. Your dad is kind of into the racing. At what point do you kind of start doing a lot of Netra races?
Pretty much from 2005. Pretty much as soon as I started, we stuck with it. I mean, we missed a couple races a year here and there, like in the Peewees.
Mm.
But from 2005 to 2012, I was doing the Netra Peewee series.
Yep.
And was pretty much just hooked. And then I, 2012, moved up to the minis on a 65, and I got 11th in the hair scrambles and 7th in the mini enduros.
Yeah. So, and then when do you make the jump to an 85?
I made it in 2014. I got the junior enduro championship, and then I got a third place in the junior enduro on the big wheel. So
on the big wheel, yep. And that's 2013, you said? How old would you have been at that point in time?
2014. 2014, I would have been 13.
Yep. How old are you now?
21.
21, all right. So you're a pretty young guy to be making the effort that you are towards the 6 days. That's a really cool thing.
Yeah, I'm just trying to progress, and I feel like every year I've just gotten a little bit more consistent, a little bit faster.
Mm.
And I think that's just going to help my future of racing.
So my first memory of you at the races is 2015, maybe, like the first year that they brought the junior class back. And you and Josh Grant, who Josh actually works for us here at Edelman's, battled a lot that year. And you came out with the title, but it was super close. What do you remember about that?
Yeah, it was really close. I was kind of just consistent all year. I think I can't remember if I had two wins. I want to say I have two wins that year, and I think they were at the end of the year. So I started off a little slow and just stayed consistent all year and was able to take the championship. It was definitely cool being the first year in the class. It was definitely a stacked class. There were a lot of kids in it.
Did it feel like a big deal at the time, or like junior class kind of coming back and being new again? Not so much, because like now, if you win a junior class at a hair scramble, or if you win that junior class championship, like you really did something. That's a stacked class and fast guys, A level guys. Usually, like if you look at the last couple of years, who's won that class, like James Larson and Cole Bain and Olin Daniels and stuff.
Yeah, for sure. It's almost like looking into like the future of like Netra racing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, like Olin has been killing it. Like,
yeah,
you know, almost getting top fives in the overall. So,
yeah. No
joke.
Yeah. When you think back about that, like them bringing back the junior class and like that giving you a whole season on a big bike in the morning race without having to jump to the afternoon, like prematurely, do you think that was a big thing for you? Like, experience wise, when you did get into the afternoon?
Yeah, I think it was a really good stepping stone for me. Just because I didn't have to like just bump up a little too early, I think. I think it was good to just start building to get into that 2 hour.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was a ton of fun. That was probably one of my funnest years racing.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously the C course doesn't get beat up as bad as our afternoon race, but it was definitely character building. And want to keep winning and keep trying hard every season.
Mm. So take me through kind of the rest of the timeline for you. I'm assuming that you can't jump right out of that junior class championship into B without ever racing in the novice class, right?
Yeah.
Yep. So talk about like that progression, getting into the afternoon racing B, and then kind of what it took to where you're at now racing AA the last couple of years.
Well, in 2015... after winning the junior class championship, the top three got the option to promote to B. So that's what I did. And, I raced the B200 class. I was able to get the championship in that. And it was definitely a rough few first rounds. I believe I was battling with, Jeremy Winans at the time.
Yep.
Who was just on another level at that time. He was just killing everybody in our class. But it was good because I could like every now and again latch on and just get a little bit more speed. And I think that was probably one of the biggest things of bumping up to the afternoon was just the speed and how rough the track was.
Yeah. For me, I was up more or less an adult really when I, did that. Like I started racing Netra in 2013, I was 23, but nobody ever told me anything about like, all I wanted, I didn't want to be a, you know, novice class champion. I was like, I want to get to B, like I want to race in the afternoon, but nobody said anything about how much rougher the tracks are in the afternoon. And like that extra 30 minutes is a big deal. Even, you know, you're going a lap down, but you're out there longer. The track is so much more beat up. Like nobody really said anything about that. I felt like the first B race that I did, that was a real surprise to me.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Especially when it's really muddy or it's really dry. Like the tracks just get so beat. And definitely the more you do it, the better you get at it. And also that year I was able to win both championships. So the junior enduro championship and the B200 championship was another like awesome thing to do. And like all the list of people that have done that, like, I want to say like Dylan McRitchie, Simon Johnson and Jake Horn, I believe, has done that.
Yeah, not a lot. I think that Olin did that. And if you go back, so this is, I get a little off topic, but a little bit of a tidbit. In State Line Riders, they have an award for that they give at the bank at our banquet every year if somebody in the club does that. And Billy Burns gives like a trophy and like a little bit of a cash prize to like a junior rider who can win both championships. And the reason he does that is because way back in the day. I believe that he did that, you know, won junior enduro and the hair scramble championship in the same year. So kind of a cool thing.
Yeah. I want to say that Johnny G, Ben, and Josh have done it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not 100% sure, but I think I look back in the records. I think they have, or at least a few of them have.
Yeah.
So it's definitely it's one of those things that it's cool to see that other fast guys that like legends in New England have, mm-hmm. have done it.
Yeah.
And even some like up and coming kids right now that are definitely making their way into the pro class.
Yeah. So when you win that B200 championship, had you scored a lot of promotion points that year?
A few. Mm-hmm. I want to say I was like probably around halfway mm-hmm. to getting bumping up to A class.
Yep. And then do you make a switch to a 250 for the following year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I moved to the B250 and I think that's when it really, really clicked. That's pretty much when I started training with TJ and Zach.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, TJ at that time was dominating the A250 class.
Yeah.
So that just, it really bumped my speed up. And the first round I DNF'd, I blew my read.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to borrow a Matt St. Laurent's dad's bike, and mm-hmm. he let me ride it for a couple laps at Catra.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then the next round, I think we went back to Catra.
Like,
I believe maybe it was the third round.
I think they did. Back. I think what year would that have been? Well, we used to go to Tuxedo.
2017. Yeah. There was a winter.
Oh yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah, there was a winter race at Catra. I DNF'd that. And then we went back to catch her at the normal spring date. Yep, you're right.
Yeah, and I got the B overall in the B250, and I think I won it by like 7 or 8 minutes.
Oh wow!
So that was kind of my like coming out party. I was riding a ton with TJ, and I mean our lap times were like were pretty close.
Mm.
Our fastest lap times were the same that day. So
yep, that's really cool.
And then I just won every B overall for the next three and got bumped.
Yeah.
Bumped to A250.
Yep. Was that when you went to A250, was that like a really big jump for you? For me, it was like, I had like a mental block on it or something. Like I had been finishing better in the overall from the B250 line than I did at the first handful of A250 races that I did.
Yeah. Pretty much same. It definitely was a really, really big jump, which is, it's crazy to think about. Cause in the B250 line, I was beating a lot of the A250 guys
mm-hmm.
and then going up and starting with them. It just was totally different. Mm-hmm. The pace off the start was so like everyone was going just so fast, where in the B250 line, it was kind of like I could just get out and, kind of do my own thing and, mm-hmm. not really battle too much.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I feel
it's different.
Yeah.
Battle with and
yeah, I feel like that was a similar case for me. Like when I first promoted to A, the pace like immediately is like the top of the B250 guys and more, obviously, and like no mistakes really. Like everyone's just trucking along, and sometimes the front guys are in a freight train, and I like couldn't hang on to that group, but I was trying so hard that I would just burn myself, and then I wasn't as good at the end, and then my overall would suffer from that. And it took me a little while to learn that. I don't know that I ever learned that really, maybe, but. Yeah,
it's one of those things. Like, I feel like every year, like, or every class, you just have to be more perfect somehow.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to figure it out.
Yep. Yep. So you get into the A class. Did you win a title in A250?
I was close. I kind of, mm-hmm. I threw it away.
Mm.
In 2018, I got second in A250 and second in A light and enduro.
Yep.
So the hair scramble championship, going into the last round, I want to say it was either a 3 or 5 point lead into the last round. And, it was actually at Holiday Mountain.
Yeah.
And I was going down one of the ski slopes, like wide open, and a lapper moved over in front of me to like get out of the way, but put himself in my line that I was already in.
Yeah.
And just smoked him. Went down, bent my bars all up, and mm-hmm. it allowed Jordan Artabani to catch me, pass me, and just it made the race pretty tough on me. I charged, caught him, and got stuck in another mud hole, and that was the championship right there.
Yeah.
But you know, I think it was a good thing for me not to win it. That championship taught me a lot, and that I hate losing, especially for some of my own mistakes, you know. So. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, I feel that to some degree for sure. I was at that race, obviously not competing for the championship in the A250, but I do remember that. And me and my dad were parked like really close to Jordan. He was really ecstatic at the end of the day. So that would be the year that you made AA, right? What number did you come away with for 2019?
11th and overall. So yep. Number 11 the following year.
Yep. That's awesome. When you started that year, was that the goal? Like, I'm going to make AA this year, or did that just kind of come to you?
That was my goal. I mean, obviously riding with TJ and Zach, I felt like I was like pretty comfortable, like somewhat running a AA pace or at least close to it.
Mm-hmm.
Just cause I mean, during the week I could battling with TJ and Zach, I knew I could go the speed. So that was my goal.
Yeah.
And obviously an A250 championship, but I'm glad it didn't happen. You know, it worked out.
Yeah. Did you say you raced enduros that year too?
Yes, I did. Yeah. I second in A-Lite and seventh overall.
Seventh overall. Cool. Yep. Nice. Yeah. When I mean, that's how I made AA was through the enduros, and I did second in A-Lite to Canny in eighth overall, and I was pretty happy with that. My goal at the time was like to make it in both series, and I came up short at the hair scrambles, unfortunately, but. The enduros got me through, I guess. I don't know if that was a blessing or not, but yeah, kind of a cool thing. And a lot of people don't really talk about like the effort that takes to race both series in the same year, like, you know,
working on the bike and all that. Two different formats and almost totally different bike setup, you know? Hair scrambles, it's definitely more just go all out, and, enduros, you really got to be smart, not to burn anything, not to crash. Because, I mean, right now, like if you make one mistake, one crash, that's pretty much your day. Like Cam or John and Jim and like all these guys that have been doing it.
Yeah,
for a while. Cam hasn't been doing it for a long time, but
he's fast.
John and Jim have a ton of experience.
Yeah,
and then Cam is just super fast and the real rocky stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, It's tough to win, you know, especially doing both series, committing your time to both and having almost no weekends off.
Mm-hmm. So when you went to AA, did you do that again that year too, race both series?
Yes, I did. I finished 13th overall in the hair scrambles and third in AA and enduros.
Mm-hmm.
That hair scramble season was really tough. That I definitely really struggled. I don't think I got inside the top 10 or 11 overall at all, that year, which, I mean, definitely shows my progression. And, it's not easy to be in that AA class.
Yeah. And I feel like you pretty much, like you have to be willing to you got to earn your way in there, and then you get in there and you have to be willing to kind of take your licks in a lot there. You see a lot of guys who make AA and then it's not going well and they made it. Peter off or whatever, but like the guys that stick with it, you know, they do find the front eventually.
Yeah.
I feel like.
No, for sure. I feel like that's definitely part of it. A lot of people just put in, like they make AA and then just do a season of it. It's rough, which I mean, it's difficult. It's not going to be easier for a season. I mean, that's the same way with like these kids coming up. Getting like sixth overall, and I mean, you just don't know that first year in AA. Like, it's clear that they have the speed to be up there.
Yeah,
it's just like from moving from B to A. It's just a totally different mindset, and you're starting with guys that can go really fast in the beginning, almost like overwhelming speed. You know,
you're that guy to me.
Well, off the first lap for me, it's Brian and Braid. I've just got insane sprint speed.
Yep. You've been riding some with Braden though, right?
Yeah. I've done a ton of riding with Braden, even with Brian in the off season.
Mm-hmm. That's gotta be good for the both of you, really.
Yeah. I mean, I know I'm in the technical stuff. I think I have a little bit of an upper hand on Braden, but that fast stuff, man, he just rides so perfect and just barely makes a mistake. Mm.
So you spent like a whole season, like obviously 2020 happens. We don't race any Netra stuff with COVID. And then you raced a bunch of GNCCs in 21, I think, right?
2020.
Was that 2020? Yep.
Well, I did both. I did 21 and 20. Mm. I did the whole GNCC series in 20, and I finished eighth in 250A, and my best finish was at High Voltage, and it was sixth in 250A and 30th overall, and the last lap, actually, I was battling with fifth, and we were just pushing each other the whole time, just couldn't make anything happen, and me and him actually both caught up to fourth, like, literally as soon as we were going through checkers. He's entering, and we were entering the finish, so.
Yep. What's your takeaway from, like, doing that, all those GNCCs, and, like, that full year in 2020? Do you think that helped you a lot, like, speed-wise, and the way that those tracks develop, you know, quite a bit different than New England?
Yeah, no, it definitely helped me, I think, with a lot of, like, the line selection.
Mm-hmm.
In GNCC, that can, like, just make and break you, because there's a lot of different lines out there, and they all add up. Especially, like, the 250A classes was so stacked. It's always stacked. I mean, pretty much the top 10 kids right now are basically on team, you know, getting a lot of support, and
yeah,
it's hard.
It seems like they're using the 250A as the development class for XC2 rather than maybe like XC3 was intended to be. There's kids in that class that are getting more support than what you see from the overall winner on a Sunday afternoon in New England. That's for sure.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I know for sure. I know back in the day, like when Brooks was running it, I know KTM was helping out like the top guys a ton.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, right now it's tough right now. Like obviously, I mean, it's hard to give away bikes. I mean, you work at a dealership, you obviously that side of it a little bit.
Yeah.
But you pretty much have to be doing well at the Nationals to get support.
Yeah. So before we get into the ISDE stuff a little bit deeper, what's the goal for this year in New England? You're doing both series, right? And you're wearing number 4 at the Hair Scrambles. You've been finishing at the front more often than not. What's the goal, or what do you have in mind for this year?
I mean, my goal is I'm still in it, but I just obviously right now still want to win the championship. I'm sitting, I think, third in points right now. I've had a couple bad rounds in the beginning. Obviously, Catra, I was sick for like 4 days before it, and that was a really rough round for me. But rebounded for a third at the next one, and I mean, I think I can beat Braden and Brian. I've beaten Braden, and Braden has beaten Brian. So
yeah,
that tells me right
there.
There
you go.
Brian, I just gotta just keep going, keep trying, and eventually it'll happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if you can pick off an overall win, and then you can tell yourself like I can do it, that'll be a big thing. I think that's important. Do you have like looking ahead at the schedule? Are there any races that you're looking at, like that's the venue for me or anything like that?
Probably. I really like Rock Crusher. I like Wood Chopper.
Mm-hmm.
Satan's Kingdom actually was another fun one last year. I hope they do a similar thing for this year. That track was pretty fast last year.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite ones every year.
Good mix.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's technical and it's off camber. I don't know. I always like that one. I've had my best rides there. Really, yep. I like that one.
Yeah, I'm a little bummed. I'm missing State Line and another enduro, which puts me out of the points. So I'm not sure how many enduros I'm going to be doing this year. Just with ISE, and I'm already I'm going to try and do a few more.
Yeah,
but I've already kind of used up my throwaways. So I'm pretty much out of the championship, or probably even the top 5 now.
Yep. You want to make a prediction for that championship?
Man,
It's a tough call.
I think Cam could do it if he just stops burning checks.
Yeah.
Because he is and stay off the ground. Mm. Cam is just really fast. And John is super fast and consistent. Yeah. I mean, it's really anyone's game between the two of them.
Yep. I'd really like to see Brian do more of them too. Like, I think that would be exciting. And
yeah.
He obviously has the speed and the talent, so it'd be cool to see him out there at more of those.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yep. All right, so I think that kind of wraps up where I wanted to go, just to let people know, like, your history in Netra and kind of where you're coming from. Yeah. The only thing we didn't touch on is just really quickly, like, where'd you go to high school? Like, what was your education path? Any college? And what are you doing now? Like, what's your career path looking like?
All righty. I went to Bishop Stang High School in Dartmouth, Mass. And then I didn't go to college, but I'm in a year four of a plumbing trade school.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm about 8 months away from getting my plumbing license.
Yeah.
So, and I'm doing that full time right now.
Right. So you're working like as an apprentice, basically?
Yeah, I'm an apprentice.
All right, cool. That's awesome. Yeah, I think that's something that's really important to touch on, just because, like, there's only going to be a few, you know, Josh's and Ben's, but there's going to be a lot of guys that go really fast, and they're going to be parts guys and plumbers and electricians and car salesmen and whatever else. So you kind of have to have a career path going on, and something that you can do that can sustain the hobby that we like to.
Yeah. I think it's funny also is Josh Toth was a plumbing apprentice and Braden actually is as well. So
nice. So. Maybe there's something in the water.
I think John Kelly too, the plumber.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So
you're saying I need a career path switch.
Possibly. Everybody's gonna.
All right. So let's dive right into the ISDE stuff. Just explain to me and everybody, like, your motivation and your inspiration to want to do the International 6 Days Enduro.
Yeah. My inspiration to the ISDE is like, it's the Olympics of off-road. It's such a huge thing to be selected and go. And obviously a lot of like New England legends have gone and have represented Team USA, and with including Josh, Johnny and Ben. And, it's crazy that I got selected to go over there and, still kind of don't believe it a little bit.
Yep.
I'm just excited to go over there and do as best I can for New England and for Team USA.
So explain the qualifying process and what it takes to kind of get qualified and get selected for a team. I think that, like, everyone's kind of familiar with 6 Days and the event, and we all watch like the World Trophy team, but there probably not a lot of knowledge on how you end up on a club team going for a gold medal.
Yeah. So pretty much how to get on a club team is they do three qualifiers on each coast. So I did the East Coast, and so the first qualifier was in Louisiana, and I think I went ninth overall and 10th possibly for that one. So I was just outside of the top 7 overall. And then the second round was in South Carolina, and I went 7-8. And then out of it, I actually was in the top 7 overall. And then for the third one, I actually missed it for a hair scramble, but they take best 2 out of 3.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of that weekend, I was an 8th overall.
Okay.
So I wasn't directly qualified. I think I would have been if I went, but somebody actually ended up getting hurt. So I got a phone call about 3 weeks, past everybody else. So it was a little bit more of a scramble for me to get everything together and make sure I can get everything in time to go over there.
Yeah.
But I had to tell my boss that I was going to, I mean, I spent 3 weeks down south during the off season. I had to tell my boss that I was going to need a couple more weeks off, and he wasn't too stoked.
No, that was going to be my next question. If at what you saying that, if they were, how supportive they were of that. So I guess not.
I'm starting a new job in another week. So,
Yeah, that's important to have, you know, like, you have to be on your career path and stuff, but you're also so young, so you only get one shake at this. So to have people around you who are like, yeah, John, go to the 6 days, or take the Monday off after whatever race and that kind of thing. Like, that's important to have those people.
Yeah, no, for sure. And it's definitely hard having, a career job to, they expect you to work a full 50 weeks in a year, or 52 weeks in a year. And it's definitely tough with racing, especially going to do the nationals. You're pretty much missing most Mondays. And if you want to be competitive, you need to do at least 2 weeks in the off season down south in the heat.
Yeah,
especially before Florida. And, you'll die out there if you don't get a couple weeks of preparation in the heat. So,
yep. So what is a club team at the 6 days? Explain that a little.
So a club team is basically like, it's riders that aren't on the trophy and junior world trophy. And I can actually pull up the list right now. So for the club team, I am on the Bruce Wakely / West Habermill Memorial. I'm on the team with John Seahorn and Brian Story.
Mm-hmm.
And there are six other club teams that are representing Team USA as well.
Okay. So there's six teams and there's three on every team?
Yep.
Yep. So that's a pretty small group of guys that get to go over to represent. That's a pretty cool thing to get qualified for sure.
Yeah, there's 16 of us.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going over there and ready to represent Team USA.
Nice. So where is the ISD this year and when is it?
The ISD is at, I'm going to definitely butcher this, but Foy and Belay, France. From August 9th to September 3rd.
Okay. You could have just said France.
Yeah. It's in France.
Yeah. So explain a little bit about what you've been doing lately, trying to get bikes and gear and all of that stuff going to make sure you have everything there when you get there.
Well, I started off by calling every dealership on the East Coast looking for a bike, and no surprise, nobody has anything. And and bikes are obviously, as really behind this year. So I'm renting a bike over there and basically been chasing down parts and trying to get gear together. My crate actually arrived in Ohio today.
Mm-hmm.
So I only had three or four weeks to get everything together, buy another set of suspension, get it set up, and throw everything in a crate and get it to Ohio. So
What kind of parts were you looking for? Like, what do you think that you're going to need to have with you? Obviously wear items like brake pads and that kind of stuff, but is there anything that you heard from the other guys about bringing or anything like that?
Definitely spare levers, brake tips, shifters, definitely skid plate, rotor guard, radiator guard, chain, the TM Design chain guide, and definitely sprout, just anything, pretty much everything.
Yeah. So you're going to, do you have to bring your own tires and bibs, or will they supply that for you?
I'm buying the tire package. So,
okay.
So everything will be supplied when I get it over there.
Okay. So you're renting a bike, buying the tire package. Do you get any kind of choice in the tires, or I know they have to be FIM legal, but do you get to pick the brand or anything like that?
I believe you do. Right now I actually am not 100% sure what tires I'm running yet. Mm-hmm. My dad thinks Dunlop, but we'll see, because they have to be a DOT tire.
Do you have any, have you put any thought into using tires like that while you're over here ahead of time before you go to France?
That is the plan before I go over. I wish I was able to test my suspension, but so over there I'm going to be running a PDF, a non-linkage.
Yeah.
So obviously over here I'm on linkage and I don't have a bike to really test on.
Mm.
But so I got it.
You're going to ride a 250 EXCF over there, which is basically what would be a 250 XCFW. So it's a PDS bike, right?
Yeah, which that'll be a little different because over here I ride a motocross 250F SXF.
Yep.
So the gearing will probably be a little different, and obviously the suspension. But yeah. I got a really good guy down in Florida that does awesome suspension, and I mean, he did Johnny G's, Ben, Josh's, Simon's. He still does Simon's and Braden, and those guys are obviously going really fast right now. And so,
what are you doing for like gear and boots and helmets and all that kind of stuff?
So for gear, I'm running Fly Racing, and then I got Garnet boots, which I'm just starting to wear them for the race. Kind of tough right now, just trying to get everything together. And I wear CDs normally, but I don't have a boot sponsor, so I kind of just got what I could get at the time that was cheap. So,
yep. So did you? Are you sending over like multiple pairs of boots and multiple helmets and gear for every day kind of thing?
Yeah, I have three sets of gear and then two sets of boots and then two helmets, which I'm going to just bring a bunch of pads because I'm just going to try and wear the same helmet every day.
Yeah.
Nice. I just picked up an Arai for Helion to do a Team USA paint job on. So
yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Lee's a listener of the show, so he'll have to come up with something cool.
Well, they have a really strict like design, so one day I will get a real like just him design it, you know, because he does such great work. I'm really excited to see how it comes out.
Yeah, that's cool. When you say they have a really strict design, what do you mean? Like only certain colors, and usually they have like
only certain colors, and it's pretty much one design, just varied in the colors a little bit. Pretty much the team has to just look as close together as possible. And I think Nick Canny was telling me that they almost like they wouldn't let him wear his helmet because I think it had like a couple extra stars on it or something like that.
Yeah, that's wild. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean they're really strict with the rules. You can't start your bike certain times. Anytime you're putting fluids in the bike or taking fluids out, you got to be on an eco mat, and I'm the only one working on the bike. So
yeah, so that was one of the questions that I had for you. Like, explain the format for 6 days a little bit, or as much as you understand it, and then like a lot of people, I think the biggest question that people are going to have is about like changing the tires in that amount of time. But the other thing you got to think about is the other maintenance that you have work you have to do in addition to changing your tires in whatever amount of time.
Yeah. I mean, so definitely change. I mean, you get 15 minutes in the morning and 15 minutes in the afternoon, and we're doing 120 miles. So 140 miles every day, except for the sixth day, which is two motocross races. So it's going to be a ton of riding, a ton of mileage. So I'm probably either going to be changing both tires every day or maybe the front every 2 days. But we just have to see how they wear after the first day, and then I can make the judgment call. But yeah, that's definitely new. My dad's probably going to have to be like tied up so he doesn't touch anything.
Yeah, right. I was going to ask you who's going with you. So you're bringing your dad. Anybody else coming?
Nope, just my dad.
Just your dad. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yep. I see you and your dad at the races all the time, and I think that's one of the cool things about Netra and like the sport that we have. You know, you can basically race forever if you want to. So a lot of guys like me and you get to race with our dads or go every week with our dads, and I think you kind of build a special bond that way. So that's a cool thing. And
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say to put it all together like you have now, and you'll get to share this experience in France and kind of all the, you know, times you spent together in the past. Now to get to go over to France is a pretty cool thing.
Yeah. I mean, I know I never could have seen it coming. I don't know if he did, because it's a crazy experience. And I mean, Netra is one big, huge family. So, and I mean, I've been a part of it basically my whole life, and I've been racing the same kids pretty much my whole life. Besides now, obviously, I mean, in the AA class, there's a lot of varying ages and different people that grew up together, and which is, it's another cool thing, you know?
Yeah. So, explain the format of the 6 days a little bit, like how you get scored, as you understand it, and like what it's going to take to get a gold medal.
Yeah. Well, pretty much, obviously, first part is, make sure I do all the work myself and get it all done in the amount of time that I have so I don't get penalized. Mm-hmm. And then obviously you get to the, you're pushing your bike to the start. You can't start it. You can't ride it. And I think we're doing 6 tests per day plus all the transfers.
Yeah.
6 times sections. I'm not sure how long they are yet, but I'm sure they're a good amount of time to add up to 140 miles.
Yeah. So basically it's cumulative time. So you have your 6 tests every day and they add up all your times from them, and the guy with the lowest time at the end of the day is the winner.
Yeah.
But there's like, you can get penalized for this and that. Have you done much research on that? Or are you kind of like reading through the rule book to kind of figure out that format at all?
Yeah, I've done some research. So you can't, if you have any banners on you, I can't think of what the penalty is, but I know that's the penalty right there.
Come through with ribbon all wrapped up in your wheel, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, wow. Yep.
Yeah. So that's a penalty. So starting your bike early is a penalty, not finishing your bike work, not completing a section. I'm still learning. It's a lot to remember, and I'm trying to just get everything down pat even before I go over there.
Yeah.
So I don't make any like stupid mistakes, and you know, because I want to finish and I want to do the best I can over there.
Yeah. Have you reached out to any of the guys who've gone recently, like John Kelly or Ben or Josh or Clammer, or even like Ross from Trail Jesters, who goes and supports every year, to kind of get an idea of what you're in for?
Yeah, no, I've been talking to Ross, and I've talked to Nick Canny a little bit, and John a little, John's dad a little bit, and Brendan Reardon. So,
yeah, I forgot that he went. Yeah, yep.
All those guys can share at least one or two things that they took away and what they could have done better, which will help me in the long run.
Are you doing anything right now, like preparation wise, different than what you would do in a normal hair scramble year to prepare for the 6 days? Or are you kind of just going to like keep doing what you're doing, make sure you're fit, and see how it goes?
I'm pretty much doing the same thing. So right now I'm working with Keith Johnson, another legend.
Yeah.
He to own a gym, 20 minutes from my house. And so I work with him 2 days a week, and obviously pedaling and riding.
Yep.
Doing our motocross this year to get ready for those tests and
for the sprint speed, right? So when you, do you have a goal? Like when you get to 6 days, is it gold medal or bust? Or are you looking to kind of get your feet wet and maybe do more of them down the road? Like what's your goal or your vision for it?
I mean, my vision is definitely a gold medal finish. Mm-hmm. You know, I really want to do well, and who knows, maybe possibly in the next few years, try this again. Cause I mean, it's definitely like it could be a once in a lifetime thing. I mean, I would like to go, and hopefully my cards in the future allow that. So I definitely just want to try and do the best I can and learn as much as I can. Cause if anything, it's gonna help me over here in the States, and possibly if I go and do it again. So,
yep. Yeah. It's a big undertaking too. Like you said, it could be, this could be your only opportunity at it. So you want to make the best of it, but going in with no little to no experience with that format, like that could be a troublesome. So you kind of got to put that out of your mind and just do the best you can to learn what you can ahead of time and go there and do your best effort. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
So I think the biggest thing about it is, you know, it's really cool to say, I want to qualify for 6 days. You start going to the qualifiers. You get on the team, and now like you're selected, but it isn't nobody's fronting that bill for you. Like, you don't, they don't just put you on a first class flight and send you 6 days. Like, you got to come up with the funding and all of that kind of stuff on your own. Talk a little bit about like what you think the expense or the expenses related to going to 6 days are and kind of what you're doing now to raise money for that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely a huge expense, and it was almost overwhelming at first. You know, you're adding up everything, and you know, bike rental, flights, hotel, parts. I mean, doing the inventory for my crate, like all the parts and everything, it was like 11 or 12 grand just in my box.
Yeah.
Like worth of stuff. It's definitely going to be probably 20, 25, grand just to go over there and do it right and be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
The bike rental was, I think it was like in between 3,000 and 4,000, hotel and
food. That,
everything. Yeah. That, I mean, it's not going to be cheap over there. And then, obviously like buying all the parts, I had to buy a set of suspension.
Yeah.
When you get
qualified and they're like 3 weeks ago, like you said, they call you and they're like, okay, you're on the team. Do they give you an idea of like, you're going to have to come up with 25 grand, or are you kind of finding that out on your own?
I mean, they mentioned it. I mean, it's possible to do it cheaper, but you might not have like what you need, you know? Like you don't need to go buy suspension, but if you want to be comfortable over there and like do your true potential.
Yeah.
And obviously extra parts,
right. It'd be a real shame to cut a corner at this point, right? So like whatever it takes kind of thing. So the bike rental, the suspension, all the hotel rooms, all of that kind of stuff, adding up. So you're thinking that like 25K is kind of the, what you're looking for that to cost you at the end of the day out of pocket.
Yeah, probably.
Mm. So what are you doing right now to kind of help to raise funds for that? Aside from working every day.
Yeah. Well, I have a GoFundMe, on my Instagram in my bio. And then I'm going to start selling shirts soon. I'm just waiting for a design from STF.
Yep.
I got all the sponsor logos on it and just waiting for approval.
Nice. That's awesome. So I checked this before, I went ahead and said this, but like today I jumped on there, and if you Google, John McDougall GoFundMe, and the first thing that comes up is your GoFundMe page. And so far you've had 41 donations, and you're just about $4,100 on there. So you're getting there.
I mean, that also too, like I've had, so doing my t-shirts, I've sold like logos to like companies, like to all my shirt, and I've raised like 5 or 6 grand doing that too.
Okay. So, nice. Yep. So you're kind of halfway there then.
Yeah. Yeah. Other like private donations and stuff.
Yep. Yeah. So some of my thought on doing the podcast with you is like, it's a really badass thing to be going to 6 days, and it's a big undertaking. Like I got to see little bits of that, like working here at the store when Ben and Josh and those guys and Jason Clammer went. So like understanding that, I was like, I got to get John on and hopefully we can drum some interest in it and kind of help him to raise some funds and get over there.
Yeah. And I really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. It's definitely a crazy opportunity that I just want to do the best I can over there.
Yep. Yeah. It's pretty awesome. Is there anybody, you said that you had some donations and you sold some space on the t-shirts. Is there anybody in particular that you want to, thank? Well, you have the opportunity.
I got a pretty long list, but, PSCR, Trail Jesters, Netra, Serious Cycles, Edelman's, Pathfinders, Hans Off-Road Riding, Train with the Pros, Boat Boys, Robrey's Tree Service, Craft Tech, Herring Chokers CBD, Judge's Custom Landscape Construction, Mulken Building and Remodeling, Studio 2112 Landscape Architecture, Nutmeg Scramblers, and then I got to thank Paul Bickford for the picture on the shirt.
Oh, nice. That's awesome. So do you have a timeline on when we'll be able to purchase some shirts from you?
I'm hoping in the next couple weeks. Mm-hmm. I'm still waiting on the proof, and then I can start getting a good list together and see how many shirts I get to order.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, I think that's going to be cool. It's the cool way about doing that with the shirts is they kind of get a piece of it too, and you get to raise some money that way.
Yeah.
So what I thought I would do is the show here recently, thanks to Tucker Distributing and Scott Buxton, were supported by ProTaper. So I thought I would do a little bit of a contest to kind of drum some up for you too. So if you've already donated to John's GoFundMe, that doesn't count. That doesn't get you anything. But if what I thought we would do is you're number four. So the fourth person to DM me on Instagram, a donation to your GoFundMe, like a screenshot of it, $50 or more, is going to get a ProTaper and Edelman Sales prize pack, which will be pretty good stuff like a chain, some grips, t-shirt, and that kind of thing. So that was my idea. The fourth person to DM $50 or more donation to John's GoFundMe will win a ProTaper Edelman Sales prize pack. So hopefully we can get some guys over there and clicking that donate button for you.
Yeah, that would be awesome. So hopefully you guys go and blow up Cody's DM.
Yeah. So, hey, thanks for doing this with me. I really appreciate it. And like I said, I think all of Netra is kind of supporting you in your effort. I know that works. I think it's really cool here at the store. So that kind of wraps up that part of it, really.
Yeah, I mean, I'm honestly blown away by how many people have reached out and how many people want to help me get over there.
Mm-hmm. So my other thought was, when you get back, you got to come back on and we want to hear all the ISDE stories.
Oh, I'm sure there's going to be some crazy ones.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
All right, cool. So that wraps up the show.
All righty, sweet.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, John.
Probably true what my mama said. I do it just like my daddy did. We back, we back, we back in the saddle. Back on stage, making the whole place rattle. Back with the A-team, train on the track. Thought we were gone, but you wrong. Now it's on. We back. Thought we were gone, but you wrong. Now it's on. We back. We back, we back in the saddle. Back on stage, making the whole place rattle. Back with the A-team, train on the track. Thought we were gone, but you wrong. Now it's on, we back.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to John McDougall's ISDE Bound episode of New England Trail Rider. Hope that's something you guys really enjoy. And I really want you guys to reach out and support John and his ISDE effort. I think that's something that's really cool that he's trying to do there. As we were recording this just today, they kind of announced the whole world trophy team, which is a pretty cool thing that we can kind of discuss this here before we let you go. Josh Toth, New England guy, going to the 6 days on the world trophy team. Caleb Russell coming back. He'll be riding a 350 at the 6 days. Dante Oliveira, he's kind of West Coast works guy. He'll be on the team. And Lane Michael on the Yamaha, he'll be on the World Trophy team. And then we talked a little bit about the club teams. There's 21 club riders. John said 16 in the podcast. It's actually 21. So a really small, exclusive group of guys that get to go on the club level. And there's some big names in there. You know, Craig DeLon, Thorne Devlin, Sean O'Leary, McDougall, obviously, Brian Story, Benjamin Knight, some really fast guys who are on club teams this year going to represent the USA. So a pretty cool thing. Like I said, before the end of the interview there, we are going to do a little bit of a contest. McDougall being number four in our Hair Scrimmel series, the fourth person to DM the Instagram page with a $50 or more screenshot of their donation to John's GoFundMe. We'll win a ProTaper prize pack with some Edelman swag. So get over there. We'll probably do some additional stuff. Like if you show me something really impressive that you donated, maybe we can hook you up with an Edelman t-shirt or something like that too. But just want to raise some awareness for John and help him get to 6 days and support him in that effort. It's a really cool thing. Like I said, if you want to find John's GoFundMe, the easiest way to do it is to either go to his Instagram, and I believe the link is right in his bio, or if you just get on Google and type in John McDougall GoFundMe, it's the first thing that pops up, and you can donate from there. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. More of these things coming at you. Any questions, remarks, comments, things you do like, things you don't like, shoot them over on the DMs, New England Trail Rider Podcast on Instagram, New England Trail Rider Podcast on Facebook. And you can always email me, cody.buck@edelmansales.com. Before I let you go, thanks to the Edelman family. Let me record here at Parts Counter Studio A at the Edelman Sales Dealership here. Thanks for tuning in.